Chapter 20: The Strange Economics of Abundance. The Economics of Scarcity. Traditional economics begins with scarcity. Resources are limited, human wants are not, and markets allocate scarce resources through prices. That framework has driven enormous innovation and efficiency. Scarcity creates incentives to economize, compete, and invent. But AI introduces something unusual. Abundance in areas that were previously scarce. Information can be generated almost instantly. Computation can be replicated at enormous scale. Cognitive capability can increasingly be delivered through software. This does not mean everything becomes abundant. Land, energy, materials, infrastructure, and human attention remain constrained. It means the economics of some important inputs is changing. And when the economics of the inputs changes, the financial system built around them may have to change too. You might think, abundance sounds like a good problem to have. It is. But abundance creates a strange paradox. We can become capable of producing more, while the financial system becomes less comfortable with the economics of producing it. The marginal cost of intelligence. One of the most significant changes is the falling marginal cost of certain forms of intelligence. Once an AI system has been developed, the same underlying capability can potentially serve millions of users. Unlike human labor, software can be copied and deployed without reproducing the entire cost of training another human. The cost is not zero. AI requires computing power, energy, infrastructure, maintenance, data, and human expertise. But the marginal cost of reproducing a unit of digital intelligence can be extremely low relative to the cost of human cognitive labor. That changes the economics of knowledge work. In the past, expanding cognitive capacity meant hiring more people. Increasingly, it can mean deploying more computing resources. The result is a potentially enormous increase in the supply of intelligence. The abundance of information. AI also changes the economics of information. Information was once expensive to produce because humans had to research, write, analyze, translate, and distribute it. Those constraints are weakening. AI can generate enormous quantities of text, images, code, analysis, and other digital material at very low marginal cost. The result is not that information becomes worthless. It means raw information becomes less scarce. When information is abundant, its value shifts toward qualities that remain scarce. Accuracy. Relevance. Context. Originality. Judgment. Trust. Verification. The scarce resource is no longer necessarily the information itself. It is the ability to determine which information matters. That is a fundamental economic shift. The deflationary pressure. AI can also create deflationary pressure by lowering the cost of production. If businesses can produce the same output using fewer workers, less time, or fewer resources, their costs can fall. Competition can then pass some of those savings to consumers through lower prices. This is good for purchasing power. But it creates a problem for a financial system heavily dependent on nominal growth. Inflation makes existing nominal debts easier to service in real terms because prices and incomes rise. Persistent deflation does the opposite. If prices and incomes fall while the nominal value of debt remains fixed, the real burden of that debt increases. A borrower who owes $100,000 still owes $100,000 even if the goods and services used to repay it become cheaper. This is one reason technological abundance can create an unusual tension. The technology can make society materially richer while making existing debt harder to carry. The paradox of abundance. The paradox is not simply that prices fall. It is that rising productivity can weaken some of the mechanisms through which the existing financial system distributes income. Consider the chain. AI increases productivity to production costs fall to prices, face downward pressure to fewer workers, may be required to wage income becomes less important to existing debt, becomes harder to service if nominal incomes stagnate. At the same time, productivity can increase real living standards. People may receive more goods and services for the same amount of money. That is genuine prosperity. But if the financial system requires continuously rising nominal incomes, asset values and revenues to support existing obligations, falling costs can create stress even while consumers benefit. This is the strange economics of abundance. The profit squeeze. Abundance can also change the economics of business. When production becomes cheaper and competitors can access similar technologies, prices can fall. Lower prices are good for consumers, but can compress profit margins. The effect depends on the industry. Some companies may use AI to reduce costs while maintaining prices, capturing the productivity gains as higher profits. Others may face intense competition that forces them to pass most of the savings to customers. The outcome is therefore not predetermined. But one principle is clear. When technology becomes widely available, productivity gains tend to become increasingly contested between consumers, workers, and capital owners. That makes the distribution of productivity gains more important, not less. The investment question. Lower production costs do not automatically cause investment to collapse. In fact, productivity improvements can encourage investment by creating new profitable opportunities. The real question is whether businesses can find sufficient returns on investment when technology rapidly drives down the cost of existing products and services. If competition pushes prices toward production costs, some traditional investments may become less attractive. At the same time, entirely new markets can emerge. AI could therefore produce both investment destruction and investment creation. The important point is that the economy's investment opportunities may increasingly depend on productivity-enhancing technologies rather than simply expanding physical capacity. That reinforces the central argument of this book. The financial system needs measures that recognize improvements in efficiency, not just increases in physical output. The debt trap. The greatest vulnerability appears when high debt meets slowing nominal growth. Suppose an economy has accumulated large debts during an era of rising prices, incomes, and asset values. Then productivity improvements begin reducing costs while employment growth slows. Real living standards may improve, but nominal income growth may weaken. If interest rates remain above nominal growth, debt ratios can rise even without reckless new borrowing. The result can become a difficult cycle. Slower nominal growth to weaker debt service capacity to greater financial pressure, to reduced investment and spending to weaker demand to greater debt stress. This does not mean AI inevitably creates a debt crisis. It means an economy with a large stock of fixed nominal obligations becomes more vulnerable when the relationship between productivity, prices, employment, and income changes. The financial architecture must therefore evolve alongside the productive architecture. The productivity alternative. The alternative is not to resist abundance. It is to build a financial system capable of functioning within it. The productivity economy is based on a simple distinction. Growth measures how much the economy expands. Productivity measures how effectively it uses its resources. AI can increase productivity, even when the economy's physical footprint grows slowly. That creates a path toward rising living standards, without requiring perpetual expansion of resource consumption. The challenge is ensuring that the financial system can participate in those gains. The productivity bond is designed around this principle. Rather than depending entirely on conventional economic expansion, its return is linked to measurable productivity performance through the National Productivity Index. As productivity improves, the financial return can increase within the model's defined parameters. If productivity weakens, the return adjusts. The productivity dividend provides the complementary distribution mechanism. If automation increases productivity while reducing the labor income required to generate output, A portion of productivity-linked gains can be returned to citizens. This creates a different economic cycle. Productivity to shared gains, to purchasing power, to demand to productive investment. The goal is not to preserve the old economy indefinitely. It is to build a financial system suited to the new one. The strange economics of abundance. Abundance changes the central economic problem. In a world of scarcity, the question is, how do we produce enough? In a highly automated world, the question may increasingly become, how do we distribute enough purchasing power to share what we can produce? That is a profound shift. The danger is not that AI makes society poorer. It may make society extraordinarily productive. The danger is that our financial and distributional institutions remain designed for an economy in which scarcity, labor, and perpetual growth perform roles they may no longer perform in the same way. The productivity economy offers another possibility. A world where machines produce more with less. Where lower costs increase real prosperity rather than destabilizing debt. Where productivity gains are measurable. Where finance participates in efficiency rather than demanding endless expansion. And where abundance becomes economically sustainable rather than financially disruptive. The strange economics of abundance is that doing more with less can be both the greatest opportunity and the greatest challenge the debt system has ever faced.